Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, let's see if we can finish up our examination of 1 Peter 5:10, a wonderful text for those who are suffering. It says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." And so far we have seen that God has promised, number one, that our sufferings will be temporary. Number two, that our sufferings are purposeful. And number three, that our sufferings are divinely helped. That God Himself, emphatic, will be personally involved in our suffering to accomplish these four things. Number one, perfect. Number two, establish. Number three, strengthen. And number four, settle you. That's what God is doing. When you are facing trials, God is at work doing things in your life that could not be accomplished any other way. If they could be accomplished some other way, they would be. God does not bring any more suffering into our lives than what is needed to accomplish His eternal purposes. God is too wise to ever make a mistake, and God is too loving to cause any suffering more than is necessary for our good. That's what the Bible teaches us, and we will continue looking at it in this text as we gather around the Word of God on this Tuesday, August 5, and do so because some of God's people are kind enough to help us with the finances to stay on the station. What will God do in our suffering? Well, as we've already seen, number one, He will perfect us, that is, restore us, make us whole, by ordering and properly arranging the events in our lives and the thoughts in our minds. This is how God restores broken hearts. It's really impossible, biblically speaking, to separate the heart from the mind. In our thinking, they're very different. The heart is the emotional part, the mind is the thinking part. But actually, from a Bible perspective, they are related. They are connected, if not one and the same. And this is the way that God restores a broken heart. He does so by correcting our thinking. We think our hearts are broken because of what has happened to us, but actually our hearts are broken because of our failure to understand what has happened to us, our failure to respond properly to what has happened to us, our failure to look to God for help to accomplish those two things, a biblical understanding and a biblical response to the difficulties in our lives. And the way God restores broken hearts is to perfect us, to bring our thoughts into captivity to His Word, and it takes trials to do it. So God Himself will perfect us. Secondly, God Himself will establish us. That's a word that means support us, buttress us, make us firm, make us solid. God will establish us. Now, we feel like the trials are doing just the opposite, like they are weakening us. And they are, as far as our human reliance and Adamic sinfulness and tendency to act independently from God is concerned. God has to strip away, God has to blast away, God has to knock away those things in our lives that are relying on the wrong thing, relying upon ourselves, relying upon other human beings, relying upon anything else except God and the truth of His Word. But He does that in order to establish us in truth, in His Word, to support us, to make us firm, to make us solid, to buttress us. That is, to strengthen our faith, to establish us more firmly in the truth of God's Word and in the ways of God. Do you know what a flying buttress is? Some of the cathedrals in Europe have them. They're not very common in the United States, but some of the cathedrals in Europe have them. And they're highly decorated so that you think maybe that's part of the architectural embellishment, and indeed it is, but what it really is a structural support to keep the walls from falling down. That's a way of buttressing, of strengthening, of maintaining the walls of an otherwise unwieldy building. They need to be strengthened, they need to be shored up, they need to be buttressed. It hasn't been too many years ago that the town of Pisa in Italy spent an enormous amount of money. I don't know if the town did or the nation did or how they raised the money. Spent an enormous amount of money to buttress the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Now, they did it in an interesting way. Or maybe I should put it this way. They did it with an interesting result. They didn't want to make it straight up and down because that would be the end of this landmark, this tourist attraction, this amazing tower that leans at an angle but still stands straight up. But the problem was that the lean was continuing to increase over the years gradually until the tower was in danger of falling down. And so they had to spend millions of dollars to go down underneath and in an area that isn't seen below the ground to fortify, to strengthen, to buttress it so that it would not lean any further, so that it would continue to be the Leaning Tower of Pisa without being the Fallen Tower of Pisa. Well, that's what God is doing with our trials. He's establishing us. But what He's doing, of course, is making us ever more straight. But we know we'll not be completely straight until we get to heaven. But He is strengthening us. He is establishing us. He is supporting us. He is making us firm. He is buttressing us in our understanding of truth and in the strengthening of our Christian faith. What else is He doing? Number three, He is strengthening us. That's a word that means to empower, to impart strength, to resist, to persevere. It's like Simon Peter, who was being sifted by Satan, and Jesus said, "I'm praying for you that your faith does not fail." That's the idea. In our trials, God strengthens us. Again, we think that our trials will weaken our faith, and actually, they will, and they do, for those who are not God's children. This is one of the ways that you can sort out. Are you a true child of God, or simply a counterfeit who has professed salvation without possessing divine life? Here's one way you can tell. For the counterfeit, the empty professor, the trials of life often wipe away their Christian profession, or at least their active Christian profession. They may still cling to the fiction that they are trusting God, but the reason I don't go to church, the reason I don't have anything to do with Christians, the reason I don't have anything to do with Christianity, the reason I don't read my Bible, the reason I don't pray, is because when I had this trial, God didn't sweep in and stop the trial. God didn't rescue me from it. And so I've got this terrible disappointment that I can't overcome. That's a manifestation of someone without true faith, because God's children are strengthened in trials by God Himself. God Himself will perfect you. God Himself will establish you. God Himself will strengthen you so that, like Peter, your faith fails not. Not that your faith fails. It's not the trials that stole your faith. It is that the trials revealed that you had no faith, no real faith. Sometimes we say, oh, my young person, my darling son or daughter went off to the university and lost their faith. They were a good Christian boy or girl, and then they went off to the university, and there they got in with the wrong crowd, the partying crowd, and there they sat under the skepticism of skeptical professors, and that's why they don't believe the Bible anymore. That's why they don't trust Christ anymore. That's why they don't go to church anymore. They went off to the university and lost their faith, or fill in the blank. They went off to the military and lost their faith, or they went off to this place or that place and lost their faith. No, they didn't. Those places just revealed that they didn't have any to start with. All they had was cultural Christianity. All they had was hand-me-down Christianity. All they had was second-hand Christianity. They had the faith of their fathers, but they didn't have a personal faith. They were raised in church, and they knew the doctrine, and they could parrot the right answers, but it wasn't real. They had no living faith in the Word of God themselves, because for those who have faith, the trials are a cause of strengthening that faith, because God Himself is at work in them to assure that that is so. So God Himself will, number one, perfect, number two, establish, number three, strengthen, and number four, settle you. That's a word that suggests place a foundation under you, secure you. That maybe is more like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. They dug down underneath and placed a foundation under it so it wouldn't lean any more. That's what God does in your trials. He Himself is at work, placing a strong foundation under you so that you won't lean anymore. He is settling you. God Himself is doing that. In short, God will restore everything lost through suffering. God will restore everything lost in Adam's fall. God will restore some of that now and all of it at Christ's coming. But your suffering is only temporary. And all of the losses that you have experienced due to suffering will be fully and completely restored, guaranteed by the God, the faithful God who promised it and will not fail. Therefore, be patient, be hopeful, be strong in your faith. Your trials will not be forever, and they will not destroy you. They will strengthen you. They will perfect you. They will establish you. They will settle you in the most holy faith. What wonderful promises. How we thank God for them. And so until tomorrow at the same time, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon Broadcast, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace. Amen.